With me in the studio is a local writer who's written a fun book about the world of antiques, collectibles, and antique malls, Luke Geddes. Welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Hello, it's great to be here.
Your book, Heart of Junk, published by Simon & Schuster, is set in the heart of America Antique Mall in Wichita, where you got into shopping antique malls after being a thrift store shopper for years. Having been an antique dealer for many years in an area antique mall, I'd loved reading about the characters you've created in Heart of Junk. Tell us about some of these dealers and the plot of the book.
There's about 7 key characters in the book, and they all deal different categories of antiques. So for the most part, the characters in the book are sort of the vendor denizens of this Heart of America antique mall. Margaret Bird, she's the dealer who has been there the longest, and she is interested in acquiring and expanding her collection of art glass, antique glass. There's Dolores. Dolores is obsessed with Barbie dolls, and she collects every single variation of Barbie doll. At the beginning of the book, 2 new dealers come in to the mall, and they sell a lot of junky mid-century kitsch, camp, 50s, 60s, 70s toys, shampoo bottles, advertising, things like that. And there's also an old guy named Ronald who collects and sells postcards. He's a postcard maniac. He actually doesn't sell a whole lot because he can't find anyone else who is interested in postcards. And then there's the owners of the antique mall and a few other characters. But I think that gives you a good cross-section of the personalities there.
The plot seems to focus on the fact that the owners of the mall are having financial difficulties, and they're hoping that a couple of television stars in this particular TV show comes in and helps them raise their visibility. So how does that subplot contribute to the overall plot of the book?
So the antique mall is on the precipice of financial collapse. They're losing dealers. So if you ever go to like a kind of a rundown or less successful antique mall, you might get this feeling that it's sort of a ghost town. There's empty booths. Dealers are leaving or quitting or even dying. And so there, as the interest in the mall is waning, sort of this one Hail Mary opportunity is to have these 2 guys from a kind of a reality show like you see on channels like TLC come in, get the antique mall some exposure, and perhaps make the owners a deal of a lifetime that would allow them to sell the mall and perhaps get out of the business and move on with their lives.
And there's also the disappearance of a young beauty queen, Lindy Bobo, which is central to the plot also.
That's right. There's a lot that's happening in this book, but for the most part, it's constrained within the mall so that you can keep track of all the various goings on. But yeah, that's another big plot point. And I think readers will find that by the end, it all ties together in hopefully pleasantly unexpected ways.
And I really like the fact that you titled the start of each chapter with one specific character. So you followed them in that chapter, which made it much easier to hear the different voices of these characters.
Yeah, I think it's important, especially for a book like this that offers you a lot of different things to keep track of and follow, to make things as easy on the reader as possible. There's a little map in the inside cover of the book that lays out the mall and sort of points out where the different characters are and who they are and the kinds of things they're interested in. And the hope there is that, you know, readers can always refer back to that as well.
There are references throughout the book to various collectibles, including vinyl records, an Elvira poster, and an MC Hammer doll. How much of your personal interests ended up in Heart of Junk?
I think a fair amount of it did. Certainly there are characters and items like the things you just mentioned that are more in line with my personal interest as a collector and a shopper. Things like vinyl records, old toys, I didn't have to do a whole lot of research besides my personal experience. Some of the more arcane topics like postcards or glass or pottery, I had to do some research because it's outside of my wheelhouse. I have much lower brow tastes than that.
Well, I understand that you had a vinyl collection which you dumped at one point and started a new one. So how many albums do you have now in your collection?
I haven't counted them. I think I don't want to have a number associated with it just because of my past demons about the collection I, for the most part, dumped when I was around 22 and then started rebuilding, I think, when I was around like 26 or 27. That only is like a few years in between, but to me, those are like lost years of my life where I didn't have a record collection.
And what are some of the jewels in it?
Oh, man, I have pretty much every edition of vinyl that Jonathan Richman of everything he's ever released. I have some rare things like an album by a band called Melkin Cookies, their first album, the original edition of it. This is the kind of question you always dream about being asked, but when you get asked it, you wish you could just go home and look through all your records and pull out the crown jewels. But suffice to say, I've got some really good ones.
Have you spent much time at Everybody's or Shake It Records?
Oh, yeah. I love all the record stores in Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati has the best record stores between all of them. Everybody, Shake It, Black Plastic, Plaid Room. The area has absolutely the best record stores of any city I've ever lived in or any city I've ever visited. Every time I travel, I hit up all the record stores. And as good as they might be, they never hold a candle to the Cincinnati record stores.
Do you have any King records in your collection?
I do. I have a few, certainly some James Brown, the obvious ones. And yeah, I am interested in local music as well.
Dolores, who you mentioned earlier, is one of the characters, and she has a booth of Barbie dolls which talk to her, which is kind of interesting. Would you mind reading about her, starting on page 64?
Certainly. All her life, Dolores had relied on the Barbie's intuition to build her collection. They shared a link, a sisterly bond, a higher consciousness, as if each was just one piece of a larger psychic whole. With their guidance, again and again, Dolores found herself in the right place at the right time, making the right deal from the right seller, and she'd come to acquire rarities. Among them, a freckleless Midge, a 1959 original with purple and gold wrist tag, and a brunette Miss Barbie, with preternatural ease. There was a plaque in her booth that read, "If you don't see what you're looking for, ask. I probably got two of it in storage." But there was one whom Dolores didn't even have one of, so rare that the collector's guides valued her at priceless and illustrated her entry with nothing but a big black question mark. Since learning of her at a convention in the 90s, Dolores had spent a lot of time and money, with the Barbies urging, to track down their long-lost sister. She'd even hired a private investigator to look into rumors that a disgruntled executive assistant at Mattel liberated her from the archives before disappearing herself in the late 80s. And now, if Barbie's hunch was true, Skipper was in Dolores's grasp. Growing up Skipper, model 7259A, a rare prototype of the controversial 1975 Skipper who, as the box put it, could grow from a young girl to a teenager in seconds.
You know, that kind of sums up the fact that after a number of years they've been collecting a certain thing, they're looking for that very rare piece.
I think most collectors would call that like a holy grail or something like that. And I think when you do come across a holy grail or just something that's been really, really hard to find, there's always this feeling of triumph. But I think often right afterwards, there's this feeling of defeat or this feeling of emptiness because you don't have that thing to search out anymore. And now the journey looking for it is over.
And here in Cincinnati, there were a number of collectors looking for Star Wars prototypes, and those are very hard to find.
Yeah, I think Cincinnati is a great city for that kind of thing because it has such a history of manufacturing these different products. There's also the Pointer Products Company, I understand it, which manufactured the Jane Mansfield water bottles. Those make an appearance in my novel as well.
And what are some of your favorite antique malls in the area to visit?
Just like record stores, I think the Cincinnati area has some of the best antique malls. There's, of course, the enormous Ohio Valley Antique Mall, which just browsing through that, I think you tend to get kind of fatigued and dizzy because there's so much to look at. The Florence Antique Mall, Grand Antique Mall, Riverside Antique Mall. They really offer everything you could ever want or hope to look for. My standard for a great city is one that has great record stores, great antique malls, and a Trader Joe's. So Cincinnati, to me, is pretty much the best city there is in America.
Well, have you shopped the Springfield, Ohio antique malls up along I-70?
Oh, I have, and I love that as well. And the antique mall in my novel isn't based on any particular antique mall, but it is sort of a combination of some antique malls in Wichita, Kansas, and some antique malls in this area and in Springfield. So they all sort of melded together and form this one sort of mythical place where my novel is set.
And just one more question. Have you shopped the Springfield extravaganzas in May and September?
Oh, yes. Extravaganza is quite an event. Better than Christmas, better than a birthday, better than any holiday to me.
Hundreds and hundreds of dealers inside and out.
Oh, yeah. It takes a lot of energy out of you, but hopefully you drive home with a car stuffed full of good stuff.
Well, thanks for coming in today, Luke, and have fun on your book tour.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be here.
I've been in conversation with Luke Geddes about his book, Heart of Junk, which is fun reading, especially if you're a collector or enjoy visiting antique malls or thrift stores. You'll find a link to his book at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Lee Hay.
Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, yesterday came suddenly. Why she had to go, I don't know, she wouldn't say. I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday. Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play. I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Why she had to go, I don't know, she wouldn't say. I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday. Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play. Now I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday.